Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Pull Up Podcast, brought to you by HoopsCritic.com.
Wow. Everybody listening, we're having an emergency podcast. This is James H., a.k.a. Snotty Dripping, from Hoops Critic. Welcome to an emergency episode of the Pull Up Podcast. I'm being joined by Mr. Kirk Henderson of MavsMoneyBall.com. He's one of the editors over there. Kirk, you there, man?
I'm here, and I am not sure how to feel. Going to be a weird couple of days for me.
Yeah, I can imagine, man. So let's set a little backstory, because even though I know everyone's been following along on Twitter and ESPN on the news, was it last week? You know, Dallas Mavericks had seemed like they had the coup of the free agent, one of the coups of the free agent period. They wooed DeAndre Jordan, the young borderline all-star center from the Clippers. Everyone announced it. They came to terms, had a deal. He was saying, happy to go back home and play back in my home, you know, back at home in Texas. And then today, how about this? You pick it up from there.
So it seemed this morning, I've been on Twitter for like 14 straight hours. So all this stuff starts to blur together. Sometime earlier this afternoon, around lunchtime, I want to say, we all started to get word through various reports coming out of Los Angeles, all Los Angeles-based Twitter accounts, Ramona Shelburne and then Mark Stein, saying that DeAndre Jordan was having second thoughts and was going to meet at some point today with the Clippers management in Houston. So we knew that Doc Rivers, and we didn't really know who else was going to go out there. And we're going to talk to him. As the day carried on, we found that the Mavericks were going to get a chance to meet with him as well. Basically, they were going to, you know, try to resell him on coming to Dallas, and Los Angeles was going to go back and try to resell him on going to the Clippers. And as the night dragged on, it seemed that he met with the Clippers. From what we know now, he decided to sign rather early in the evening, and had since basically denied the Mavericks any opportunity to talk with Cuban or with Chandler Parsons or Donnie Nelson. He basically shut the Mavericks out and walked back on his verbal agreement to sign with the Mavericks, which is allowed because there are no signings until, well, about an hour from now is the first time you can really sign. But this is the first time an agent of this magnitude, a free agent of this size, like an importance, has walked back on a deal after verbally agreeing to it. So this is going to be a big deal in the coming weeks.
I've never seen anything like this before. This is mind-boggling. Talk a little bit. I'm not going to do that. But they talk a little about how much the signing meant for Dallas, but talk about your... Let's talk about your initial reaction when you first heard the rumblings. You must have thought there's no way it's possible, right?
Well, I really couldn't believe it because this just – I'm of the opinion, and this is strictly opinion, that the Clippers, particularly Doc Rivers, are absolutely brilliant at playing media members using information. So everything that came out this morning saying, you know, DeAndre Jordan contacted Doc Rivers saying he was interested in re-signing the Clippers, that this happened on Monday. It very much just smelled of Doc Rivers insists DeAndre Jordan called Doc Rivers. And so I couldn't believe any of it because it seems so comical. You know, it's one thing to give another chance, but it all made it sound like that DeAndre was having second thoughts about this awful decision that he had made. Not this, you know, kind of wine-and-dine strategy where he eventually went with Mavericks over four or five other teams. So my initial reaction was one of shock, and then kind of as the day wore on, everything, you know, it seemed plausible that he would sign with the Clippers, particularly by around dinner time. But just the way everything went down feels so shady. You know, this is the kind of thing that Jonathan Abrams, Grantland, could do an oral history on tomorrow. And I think we'd all want to read it because there's just so much at play right now. And I really don't know if we're ever going to know everything that happened. It's just so bizarre.
There's a 30 for 30 coming on this, man. I don't have words for what we're seeing. And in one way, of course, we think it's traitorous, it's low down, it's dirty. But the question would be, if roles were reversed, would you want Cuban to do the same thing?
Well, see, I don't necessarily mind DeAndre changing his mind. He's 26. He's making a life-altering decision. That he had some second thoughts is natural. How he went about this whole process, to where it seems like he wouldn't even talk to Dallas, is unbelievably immature and kind of, that's really the only thing that bothers me. I'm not sure if I'd want Cuban to go and do what he did here, because to in Rivers and the Clippers' defense, they did the only thing that was left for them to do. They had no other option. They had to kind of violate the unspoken agreement that once a guy has said he's going to sign with the team, you leave him alone. I mean, this is the first time this has happened, but if you look at it from an objective point of view, this was going to happen at some time or another. Maybe it's happened before and we just never got wind of it because the player always ends up signing with the team that he verbally agrees to. But, you know, I don't really blame the Clippers in that respect. It's just this is one of these situations where it's very frustrating from a fan perspective because, you know, this was kind of the signing that the offseason had wrote upon. And now the Mavericks have just enough kind of cap space to fill and nobody to fill it with.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are missing that point that, sure, he's perfectly free to change his mind. That's not the deal. And, yes, I think he's doing it in a kind of immature and not the best kind of way. All right, that's fine. But it's more than just changing his mind because the Mavericks dedicated so much time and effort to get him, and now what happens? Any other option they had are gone because they already signed because Mavs had all their attention on DeAndre Jordan. And again, we understand the NBA is a business. Everyone says it, right? It is. It's a business. But at the same time, there's a human element in how you treat people. And we do. We complain about how teams treat players. You know, the owners make billions or players make millions. It doesn't seem fair. All that's well and good, but this is the other side of it. And people are people, and, I mean, he's not being – yeah, that's –
Well, and there's really another angle that I'm not mad now. I at some point or another, I'm just like a switch is going to be flicked in my head, and I will be irrationally upset about this. But a lot of blame with this situation also has to return to Dallas owner Mark Cuban, because since 2011, and even arguably before, going back to when they got Jason Kidd, he was constantly mortgaging their future for the season. And if you look back to 2011, when he basically let Tyson Chandler walk after winning the championship, in 2012, when he traded back to get, you know, the pieces that became Jay Crowder when there were other more interesting pieces on the draft board, 2013, when they got Shane Larkin in 18 and claimed that he was the ninth best player on in the entire draft, which is just such a joke. Time and again, you know, they really made mistakes that should have ended up worse for them than they have. You know, everyone forgets this, but the Monta Ellis signing back after Dwight went to Houston really fell out of the sky. And if that didn't happen, Jose Calderon and Dirk would have been leading the Mavs that year. Talk about a terrible defense. It's just a really frustrating situation.
Yeah, and I think, if you correct me if I'm wrong, Cuban even has comments about his feelings about the draft versus free agency and how, you know, didn't want to waste Dirk's years. But at the same time, it seems, and I said this on Twitter, that he was kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul every year. He's mortgaging the future to try to keep the present, you know, competitive. And this is the risk you take. After you guys won in 2011, I mean, you know, once Jason Kidd left and Tyson left, you had no young talent. You had no assets. You had no picks. And you hasn't been – he's done his best he can, but he keeps striking out with the big names. And here, it's like the chickens kind of came home to roost. Am I way off base about that?
Yeah, that's exactly how a lot of the Mavs blogging and writing community feels. Obviously, the fans are very pro-Cuban, and I understand why. He's been a wonderful owner. I really don't want to take that away from him because Dallas basketball was a mess when he bought the team, and I think it was 99. This is just so awful because even the fact that the Boston Celtics own their pick next year and it's a top seven protected pick is nothing short of a disaster because that pick stays top seven protected until 2020. So if Dallas is anything other than god-awful in the next few years, they're going to lose that pick, which is just another tool in building back their team. So there's just so – like this was so disastrous on a number of levels that they missed out on DeAndre because now they have all this space to fill and there's nobody who's really going to want to come. You know, I foresee, you know, Dirk maybe playing out this year and then calling it a day. Chandler Parsons has a player option next year. I mean, all these other deals – yeah, it's going to get ugly.
Wow. From what I understood, Cuban said if they missed on DeAndre that he was going to bottom out and it was going to be a, you know, tankapalooza this year. Do you think Cuban would ever really try to tank, especially with Dirk on his last legs and in the twilight of his career? What do you see going forward?
I don't think they willingly tank. But if you look at who's left on the market, I mean, everyone was really excited that maybe they were going to get Jeremy Lin. Well, he signed with the Charlotte Hornets. So who is left? Who is left? You know, are they going to go get Samuel Dallenbear? You know, there's really nobody who can play center. I suppose they could do what the Clippers did and start making offers to people who have already you know, indicated that they were going to sign with the team. But, you know, it's 11 – right now I think it's 11-12. He has approximately 48 minutes to get in offers to the team. And I don't think that the Mavs had a backup plan because, as my understanding of it, they talked to him as of yesterday morning and he was still gung-ho. And then for the last several, I guess you'd call it 36 hours, they've been under the impression. I talked with the source in the organization – around noon, and I said, you know, there's whispers, what's going on? And he said, oh, don't worry, we feel confident. By dinner time, he said, oh, we still feel confident. So I really think that this has absolutely blindsided the Mavericks. So this is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. It's very disappointing that Dirk helped bring the team out of the dark ages, and he might leave the team when they're in the dark ages again.
Oh, man. I'm just aghast at what we're seeing, man. I've never seen anything like this. And my big issue, again, it's not him changing his mind. That's perfectly all right. But, you know, you would think he would, before he even called Doc and said, hey, Doc, I'm thinking about coming back, allegedly what happened, you'd think he would call Cuban and say, hey, Mark, just give you a heads up. I'm starting not to like what I'm feeling here. Or at least leave him a voicemail or send him an email if you don't want to talk to him. You know, hey,
yeah.
The guy just offered you $80 million, you know. Man up and just at least face him. That's the crazy part right now. So,
well, and he took
the
exact same deal from the Clippers is what I'm reading on the internet now. Because he told everyone, DeAndre did, before free agency started, he was going to take a four-year deal with a player option opt-out in year four because he basically wants to have the opportunity to get that TV money. But he also was smart enough to think if there's a lockout, you know, that he'll still maybe potentially get paid after the lockout is resumed in 2017. This is just so odd. I was talking with my wife earlier, and we were really trying to think if there's been another free agency-style just fiasco that relates to this, and I couldn't come up with anything. Not since, is there anything odder that's happened in sports in relation to contracts these last few years or ever?
The closest thing, and it's not even – in the same stratosphere, of course, was when Turkoglu was with Orlando. I think he had an agreement with Portland, a verbal agreement, same thing, during the moratorium, and then he backed out and going to Toronto. That's the closest thing. I mean, that was, you know, at the time he was a very good player, but this nothing of this magnitude. I can't think of anything even close where a team or a player offered up a contract and had verbal agreements, and they were all saying, hey, wait till next year, and then all of a sudden the guy was reverse field. The weirdest part to me was when they literally said, like, the Clippers are making a wall around DeAndre, or when they said that, you know, yeah, he's agreed, but now they're not going to leave him alone until he can actually sign. So they're sitting in his house, you know, and I'm hearing Cuban is driving around or trying to, you know, he's not answering phone calls, and Cuban doesn't have his address, which is amazing to me. You would think a billionaire like Cuban would have a way to say, hey, give me DeAndre Jordan's address and get it. But
I'm not sure if we're ever really going to figure out what all went down here. I do know for a fact that this is not a good look on Jordan, really, the Clippers. I think we're going to get some really interesting stories the next few days about what exactly has happened with Dan Feagan, who is DeAndre Jordan's agent. That whole agency, like, they've managed Dwight Howard, and doesn't Feagan also manage or represent DeMarcus Cousins? I mean, how many crazy big men does this guy have that you know, are kind of rife with these immaturity issues, for lack of a better term? Because it's so strange with what's going on. I'm beyond emotional like repercussions. There's just like a lot of like business stuff that's going to get really wonky for both like the league, the agents, and teams.
So this is what I heard, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. You said Dwight is also a Feagan client, right?
I think. I mean, I could be wrong there, but I thought I read
tonight. I was reading earlier that because Dwight stiffed the Mavs last year, or you know when he did his free agent thing, when he stiffed the Mavs, that Feagan kind of, hey, sorry, Mark, and he was trying to make it up to Mark, kind of, you know, I guess, you know, agents with owners working and kind of, you know, one hand washes the other, and he was really pushing for DeAndre to go and, you know, playing up the whole, hey, you're going to be a star here, you can be the big thing. So I'm hearing that he was, yeah, I mean, no matter what, it comes down to DeAndre's choice. As a grown man, I don't care. I see people tweeting me, oh, well, he was giving bad advice, and that's nonsense. So let's fast forward to opening day. Is there anyone on the market right now that you could think, or any moves you can make? I'm hearing that Indiana's gonna, if this happens, they might pull their deal from the Lakers and try to work with Cuban to get Hibbert into Dallas.
I saw that as well, and that's just the kind of domino falling that's going on here. Would that even really be possible? I know it'd probably be possible from a contractual point of view because the Mavs have the space to absorb it. It would probably create maybe a trade exception or something like that for Indiana because I know that Hibbert has that kind of ridiculous like trade kicker on top of his like massive contract. But this seems to screw up so many things for so many teams. I suspect that would be a thing Dallas would try to go do. I'm not really very supportive of it because if you could imagine Hibbert and Dirk in a foot race, no one wins. That's the worst. And add Chandler Parsons to that front line, and that's got to be the slowest group of basketball players on the internet, or possible imaginable on the internet. So it's really dark.
I would say on the planet. That's a real slow. That's they don't even run the court. They just kind of probably evolve and grow. I don't know what to say about that. We got about 10 more minutes, man. You know what? The floor is yours. We talked earlier in the season about, I think during the playoffs maybe, and when we saw how things were going. And you're one of my favorite followers on Twitter. If you guys don't know, he's on Twitter. He's at Kirk Serious Face. I don't know where the name came from, but. Because you're very much a fan. No, you're very much a fan, but at the same time, you're very realistic, and I've seen you actually get into it with the you know, we all talk about different things, stands and fans, and I've seen you kind of get into it with some stands because you're a fan, but you're realistic. So, the floor is yours, man.
Well, it's very, you know, being a writer and NBA fan is particularly challenging. I understand and appreciate how some of the more national guys say that they've lost their original fandom as they have, you know, grown bigger and they've had to, you know, analyze more teams and they just have to watch the sport as a whole. I pay attention to basketball from all angles, but I still really pretty much watch the Mavs if given the opportunity. And, you know, it's funny that you know, the Mavs, and particularly, like, Dirk has been a part of my life longer than anyone that's not my mom, dad, brother, and that's about it. I mean, because he joined the Mavericks when I was, I mean, I'm 31 now, and he joined the Mavericks when I was 14. So I'm still very passionate about Dirk and the Mavericks just because it's been one of those constants in my life. And it's I think you can be a fan of a team and still be reasonably critical of them. You know, as far as I understand it, you're a Celtics fan, but you're very, you know, reasonable in your takes on them because you don't buy everything the front office sells you. And I think that's important if you really want to enjoy, you know, the team, because, like, how many fans are going to wake up tomorrow morning and be so upset that this has happened with the Mavericks, but not understand why? You know, they're just going to think, oh, DeAndre changed his mind. And, you know, maybe it is that simple, but at the same time, there's just a lot more going on with basketball. And, like, you, as a fan, particularly if you have a voice and a platform, I think, you know, you kind of owe it to the team to attempt to hold them accountable while being respectful. You know, it's not being disrespectful to question some of the moves that they do, as long as you do it in a manner that you know, doesn't come back and bite you later on.
Man, you hit the nail on the head. You know, I get crushed, I get yelled at, and I get, you know, called names. But I think some fans have the memory of a goldfish, where they see the week on each side in front of them. You know, a week in the past, week in forward, they'll pay attention to what's been going on. A lot like you. Don't get me started on Boston. I can start right now on Boston. No, I'm not gonna steal your thunder, man. This is your time. Let's go. We're 20 or 38 minutes away from the free agent signings. Let's play a little game real quick. Best case scenario right now. Even if DeAndre changed his mind again and came back, how long would it take for the fans to forgive him for all this? Give me your best case scenario right now.
If fans are forgiving, they'd forget tomorrow. You know, somebody mentioned earlier, oh, everyone's going to forget about this within a couple of months. And I'm just not sure. You know, maybe they're right. But, I mean, the Clippers were already, you know, they had that period, I guess it's over a year ago, where everyone was really feeling for them because they were owned by the racist scumbag. And now they were free from him. And then, and, you know, this past season, they really worked on their heel credibility, and nobody likes them because, you know, if you think Chris Paul is a delightful human, I question your taste. And so now we're back in this place where the Clippers are an exceptionally unlikable team, and I'm really not sure that there'd be anything that Dallas or that he could do to ever really win back, you know, the kind of support that he would have from non-Clipper people. Because this is just one of those things where people remind you of it. You know, it's going to be a thing, kind of like Dwight Howard, where he kept changing his mind. It follows you around. It's very disappointing too, because he seems like such a likable human, and, you know, he did what's best for him professionally, and it sucks that, you know, this is going to be one of those things that he's remembered for instead of the fact that he's, you know, this wildly athletic and very talented basketball player.
This is just such a bizarre case. Even the things about, you know, it came out about CP3 doesn't high five him, and you know, we all remember him young in DeAndre's face, and, you know, it seemed this is, you know, the Mavs coming out, oh, he can be a 20-20 guy. I heard on another podcast, you know, someone said that he could possibly be a 24-15 guy, and. Yeah, that's what I did too. I scratched my. These are people I really listen to and respect. So it was weird, but
this is going to be one of the periods that we talk about for years, because we're going to look back at this next year during free agency and we're going to go, man, do you remember when DeAndre Jordan held everybody captive for 12 hours? Because this was like being on social media tonight. And being on my phone and talking to different, you know, writers, even just Matt's friends from high school, everyone was thinking the same thing. It was almost like watching the NBA Finals, but nobody, if you were not, like, so many people didn't have a rooting interest outside of chaos. This is just wild. I'm not sure what we're really going to do. I know it's great for page views. Everybody's pretty excited about that because there's a lot to talk about. And, I mean, and the NBA is fun, but this is just so something. I don't even know where to start.
Well, I know I did a terrible job because I should have just ran this for like another hour. I should have signed up for an hour and a half podcast, and we should have ran until 9 o'clock. But I'm a fool. So, wow. I you know what? My situation with Boston and the Celtics I'm not very happy about, but I'm going to cede the floor to you, man. This is rough. Dirk is an absolute legend. You guys had some awesome teams in Dallas. You guys have you've done this amazing thing. That 2011 run was one for the ages, where I would say it was like a perfect storm. And you guys were almost like the Spurs were against the Heat in 2014, where you guys hit the playoffs and you hit that stride where everybody was clicking and your five players added up to seven. Your five on the court. It wasn't just 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 equaling five. It was you went to another level. It was amazing, and Dirk was sublime. So you always have that. It's just it does. I'm not one of those real nostalgic guys. When I think Kobe's gone soon, Duncan's gone soon, Nowitzki's gone soon, but there's another class behind him coming up, and yeah, it's not a lot of fun, but you know, it's the way of the world, but it does. It's Dirk seems like one of the genuinely just good, fun guys, and it kind of, you don't want to see him go out on a team like this.
No, and that's really probably the thing that anyone, even a Clipper fan who wants to rub it in a Mavericks fan's face, would agree on, that Dirk is the kind of guy you're going to miss him when he's gone, and because he's never really done anything off the floor to bring him any attention. He likes playing basketball. He's played it in a way that really revolutionized offensive basketball. And it's disappointing that in all likelihood he's going to go out very quietly, despite how much he gave up personally so that the team would have another opportunity to succeed. And I think that's where, you know, now I'm sad. I think it'll turn to frustration in a few days, and when the Mavericks are getting killed next year, I'll probably be quite the follow on Twitter as I rage blackout. But for now, my general feeling should be one of disappointment for Dirk, and I think that's really going to be the worst part to endure as a fan.
So we have 33 minutes left until the decision, and I think I thought this was one of those silly rumors when I first saw it, and here we are now. So, hey, Kirk Henderson, Mavs Moneyball, and what's your other site?
I occasionally dabble with Hardwood Paroxysm, but mostly Mavs Moneyball.
There you go, man. So, Kirk, thanks for stopping by. You guys, everybody follow him on Twitter. That's Kirk, K-I-R-K, and then Serious Face. That's the weirdest at, and we'll have. Hey, I'm gonna have you on again, man, this summer. I'd love to have you on. And no,
thanks.
We're gonna do.
Good to, this has been good therapy.
Anything you want to say to the Dallas fans out there before you go?
It's gonna get a lot worse before it gets better. Everybody, hold on to your butts.
Oh man. Hey Kirk, thanks for stopping by, man. Keep your chin up, brother. And we'll have you on again soon.
All right. Have a good night and a good free agency.
All right, brother. All right. So yeah, that's one of Dallas Mavericks. He's one of the biggest fans, and he's kind of hard. He's not harsh on him. He's real, and follow him on Twitter, Kirk Serious Face. And in the next half hour, we'll know. And you guys can listen to this tomorrow and be like, yep, we talked about it half an hour before it went down. So I think I'll have another show tomorrow night, too. So thanks for joining us, guys. This is James H. While it's not even, Pull Up Podcast, hoopsbreak.com. Hey, have a good night.